Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you because this is indeed Easter that we are celebrating. Lord, I just ask that you would give us further grace to know the meaning of Easter. That you have risen from the grave, Lord. That death is now conquered once and for all. Lord, we just thank you because you have given us this hope of eternity. And we thank you in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. Now let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And let's talk about the message of Easter. Who is the first person that the Lord Jesus appeared to? Mary Magdalene. Now that is in, let's just turn to John chapter 20. And let's start to read. Early in the first day of the week, that is Sunday, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that a stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Now, what does it mean, though? On Friday, when we discussed the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, what does it say? How many people were there trying to anoint the Lord Jesus? Anyone remember? Anyone? Remember? Yes. Would be about, well, there's a whole bunch of women there. Okay, there's a whole bunch of women there. Let's see now. Would be about six. Now, Christ appeared to them, to the people, to his disciples, for 10 times, roughly, in the first day of the resurrection. But I think there's a whole group of women there that try to see the Lord Jesus, that try to re-anoint the Lord Jesus. So let's turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. You see, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices and they tried to find go and ask the Roman soldiers to permit them to re-anoint the Lord Jesus. Now, Luke 24, verse 9. Verse 9 and verse 10. Take particular attention to verse 10. There was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others with them. Now, others with them, then we don't know how many there are. Okay, so you could be right that there are about 10 people. Okay. A whole group of women went there, okay, trying to talk the guards into opening the seal of the tomb that they can hopefully roll out the stone and give them the permission to anoint the Lord Jesus. Now, what did they find? The tomb was empty, and the stone that blocked the entrance to the tomb has been removed. Do they see Roman soldiers there? No, the Roman soldiers were all gone. Now, John picks up the story. John says that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and now, it's not that, if you read this, it's not Mary Magdalene only, but she is now the heroine, okay? She is now the object of the attention of John's narrative, okay? So Mary Magdalene was now the center of John's narrative. So Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now she running back to Simon Peter and the other disciple. Of course, it has to be John, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now, does Mary Magdalene believe the Lord has resurrected? No. The evidence is only that the tomb is empty, the body is gone, and she didn't actually believe in what the angels say, that Christ has resurrected. She just said that they have taken away his body, and I don't know where they have put him. Okay? You see, on Friday we say that there are four things that the Lord has done for people in Easter. First is that to the people that are sorrowful, Christ removed the entrance to Christ removed the rock, okay? Now, John has another narrative. John says that Mary was full of sorrow, even after seeing the empty grave. You see, we have to say that the body of Jesus cannot be logically be taken away by the apostles, because the apostles don't believe in his resurrection. None of the people actually believe in his resurrection, even though it has been predicted for so many times by the Lord Jesus. They just don't believe it. See, the Muslims have now conjured up big lies about Christianity. The Muslims say that the body of Jesus was just stolen. And so what happens is that to witness to a Muslim, you show it from the passage of Matthew saying that, well, that was exactly what the plot was. The high priest and the Pharisees, they bribed it, the guards, to say that the body was stolen. But the body was not stolen. You see, the Muslims never read the Bible. They just read what people say about the Bible, I mean their own critics. And therefore, they missed the whole story. Yes?
How about if they say the Bible is a liar?
Hmm?
How about if they say the Bible is a lie?
Oh, okay, now. They did not dare to say the Bible is a lie. However, you know what the Muslims say? They say that the Christians changed the original context of the Bible to make it a lie. And therefore the Quran was sent by God to change what the Christians had changed. Now if you read through the Quran, it's full of mistakes. It's full of errors. The Quran would mix up Miriam with Mary. You know who is Miriam?
Yeah.
Huh? Miriam, well, not the one upstairs. Good guess, okay. Miriam is the sister of Moses, okay. Mary is the mother of Jesus. How many years did they live apart? About 3,000 years. And the Muslims have mixed up the two people. Strange, isn't it? You know how Muhammad got the story? Very simple. He was just roasting chestnuts in the in the oasis, and at night when the caravans would rest, and the Jews and the Christians would come by and they talk about stories. And he would be listening to them, and of course, maybe he was half, like he was not listening carefully, and try to write some notes. So from what he heard about from pieces of stories from the Jews and the Christians, he just made up the story. It's a complete lie. You see, now, the biggest lie about Muslim, about Islam, is that they say that Christ has never resurrected. And we ask them, well, where's the grave of the Lord Jesus? They say, well, we don't know. Well, it's just that they stole his body. You see, the whole issue is that the disciples do not believe in the resurrection. It has to be proven to them by the resurrected Jesus. So John has started the narrative that Mary Magdalene is the one that did not believe. And now Peter and the other apostle, that is John, started for the tomb. Now both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now John is a much younger man. And so on the way back, John outran Peter. Peter must be kind of an older guy, middle age maybe. And so John first ran there, and he bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Now, looking means he just take a glance. Put a note on your Bible. Looking means just glance, okay? Put a note on your Bible. Anyone have a pen? You're welcome to use my pen. Okay? Just write the word glance, okay? He took a look at it and saw that there are strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Now, what does that mean when there are strips of linen lying there? It is the linen that wrapped his body, together with all the spices, which is about 100 pounds of spices. Now, if someone steals the body, would the linen be there?
No.
Would the linen be there if someone steals the body? No, right? Someone would just grab the whole thing and ran away, right? Why would someone leave the linen there, right? It is. So, John, take a look at it. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and he also went to the tomb. Now, he saw the strip of linen there. Now, write in your Bible, besides the word saw, examined. That is the original Greek.
Where's the looking?
Verse 6. Verse 6, okay? Chapter 20, verse 6. Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went to the tomb, and he saw, put down the word, examined. Now, he saw the strips of linen there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around the head of the Lord Jesus. Now, what is the difference when you take at the things at the grounds and the things that you see? Wesley, do you see the difference between just seeing and examining? Can you compare the two differences? What John sees and what Peter sees? Anyone? Jonathan, can you see the difference? Jonathan, can you see the difference between the two? Granting and examine. And examine. What's the difference between examining and granting in this case? What further details came out through the examination?
Well, examine, you're looking at it closely, right?
That's right, yes. And now, so what does Peter see that John did not see? Gabby?
He saw linen.
Ah, he saw something else now. He saw the linen that had at one time covered his head, right? Now, he sees something more, okay? Well, both see the strips of linen there. But now, when you examine, he saw the burial cloth that had been around the head of the Lord Jesus. What does it mean? What happened is that when Jesus is being anointed, they would wrap his body with layers and layers of linen. One layer of linen, one layer of spice. Another linen, another layer of spice. Okay, now, what happens eventually, the head, well, the head is not wrapped, you know, like that. The head, what happened is that, okay, is wrapped in a special way. Well, the head, they won't put five layers of linen in there, okay? The head is wrapped in a special way, you know, with thinner piece of linen, and then they will put a piece of cloth on the head. Okay? Now, all of that is lying there. That's what it means.
How about the lotion?
Yes, the lotion would now be dried, would now be crystallized, okay? So it would look something like a cocoon, okay? It would look something like a cocoon. Because the spices and the lotions, about 100 pounds of them would have been like solidified a bit, okay, because of the weather after 3 days, okay? Yes, it would be like a mummy without the inside, okay? You know, it would be something like a linen coffin or something like that, okay? That is now what Peter sees upon closer examination. You see, a lot of people, when they read the Bible, they were only granting it. They would not like to examine the Bible. So when you examine the Bible, you always see something more that you would not see before. Okay? So now, Peter saw that. Finally, the other disciple, who is John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw. Now, this is what saw means. Now, John also examined the case. Okay? Now, here's my challenge to you. When you just glance through the Bible, you won't see too much. But when you go back there, join a Bible study, okay? Now, joining a Bible study, you would be drawn to how people see the Bible. Now, you have to do your own examination, okay? Now, here's really what it is. John would not take Peter's word for it. John went in there and see it for the second time, okay? Have you ever seen the same words the second time and get different nourishment out of it? Yes, you will. He saw and he believed. Now, Pastor John says that when he believed, he just believed that the body is gone. Okay, period. That someone stole the body. You know, he still don't believe. Okay, but other commenters, other people that write commentary say that John would now, and as well as Peter, would believe in the resurrection. Put it that way, John has a point, because John says that had these disciples believed in the resurrection, they would have gone right away to Galilee, because Christ would have told them that they should meet him in Galilee. But since these people were still tarrying in Jerusalem, then what I'm saying is that John is quite right there. Maybe they don't believe in the resurrection after all, okay? They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus has to rise from the dead, okay? Now, that explains that a bit more. Okay, they don't understand it. They heard about it. They don't understand it. So when they see the evidence in front of them, they're still mystified. Now, what about Mary Magdalene? How come Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene? Anyone? She ran there. Tell the apostles. Well, like first she went to the grave. Oh, okay. Then she went back to Jerusalem, to tell everyone. Then, of course, John and Peter went to the grave. And then now, in verse 10, it says that when the disciples went back, Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb crying. What happened to Mary? Anyone? What happened to her? Okay, last time we heard, she told the disciples that Christ, that the body of Christ is gone. Okay, now, what happened to Mary Magdalene? How come she's now outside the tomb crying?
The body is gone?
No. How come Mary Magdalene is now suddenly outside the tomb? Because she went back. Okay? She first went with a group of women to the tomb, find the tomb empty, ran back to Jerusalem, tell everyone. And then as John and Peter went to the grave, Mary Magdalene followed. Okay? See, when you read the Bible, you have to read the Bible carefully. Okay, Mary Magdalene followed. Okay, now obviously John and Peter was gone. Okay, because just imagine taking 3 trips like that. Can you run like that? Katie, can you run like that? Kevin, can you run like that and catch your breath? Okay. So what happened is that I speculate that when she came back to the grave, this would be the second time, okay? John and Peter were gone, okay?
What time of day would it be?
The time of the day would be late in the day, like around maybe, would be around lunchtime or something. Would be around that, okay? Because now, what happened to the 2 disciples in Emmaus on the way there?
They went and
Christ was walking along with them, right? And they do not recognize Jesus. And then it gets dark. Remember? And it gets dark and they say, well, let's go forward. Christ, and they say, no. It's getting dark, and so why don't we just get a restaurant and so we can stay for the night, right? And then...
Oh, yeah, and he was breaking
bread. That's right. And Christ broke bread, right? It was in the evening, right? So Christ had a very busy day on resurrection day, okay? Christ was very busy. Okay, now, first, the first person that he actually appeared to is actually Mary Magdalene. Because she came back, okay, this is the second time she went back to the tomb, okay. Every one of them, they were only at the tomb once. The women were there once, okay, the bunch of women, and they walk around the entire Jerusalem telling the 11 apostles and the other disciples. Remember, there's a lot of disciples, right? There's 11 of them. Well, the apostles are the people at that time. They were the people that were particularly chosen by the Lord Jesus. Okay, when we go on the Gospel of Luke later on, you will find that Jesus prayed when he selected the 12 apostles. They were personally selected by them. And then there are 70 disciples, remember. The 70 disciples were the people that were recruited along, people that are committed to learn from the Lord Jesus, and yet they were not the ones that were specially committed or chosen, okay? But there's a lot of people around Jerusalem, they're hiding in fear, the 11, because Judah had committed suicide, okay? Judah hanged himself.
So not 12 now,
there's 11, okay? But there's 70 of them, okay? So the other women would just go around knocking on doors, telling everyone, hey, the grave is empty, his body is gone, we don't know what's happening, okay? But Mary Magdalene, in particular, went and talked to John and Peter, and then she went back to the grave, you see. Now, how many of you would do that for the Lord? What's that? Would you do that for the Lord?
Yes.
See, here's really what it is. Whoever that wants to run the extra distance is the one that gets the praise. Okay? Put a note there. When you run the extra mile for the Lord, you always get the extra reward. Spiritually. Well, even in the world, right? How would they reward people in the world? Well, those of you that have not started your working careers, I would have to tell you an example. My first job in a summer job in the accounting field was working in Hong Kong. I was visiting my parents in the summer times. And since I would be in Hong Kong for like 4 months, between my second and third year in the university, my father in particular, say that I would be too lazy basking in the sun, okay? So he arranged an accounting position for me, like an accounting clerk, actually, position for me in Dow Chemical. Dow Chemical in Hong Kong has a very large office in Aishou Street at that time. They had about, just in the administration, about 60 people. It was a big sales office. And what happened is that the controller from Midland, Michigan is an American. And like all American firms, the people don't have to work on a Saturday. But if you work for a British firm, you work half a day on a Saturday. But you work for an American firm because you work a bit more hours for the 5 days in the week. You're not required to show up on a Saturday. But do people come on Saturday to work? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And, well, you know, actually I'm not committed to do anything because I'm just a summer worker, but because if everyone does that, then you follow. Oh, okay. So I went there Saturday morning too. And you know what? The controller came in with his golf shoes, okay? The only time you see him, you know, not wearing a suit and a tie, okay? He comes with T-shirts, golf shoes, okay? He came in, okay? We just hang around for about half an hour. Always around lunchtime, okay? He won't come there early in the morning, okay? He come around lunchtime, you know, just, you know, spend half an hour in his office, you know, looking through his drawers or whatever. And then you know what? You're trying to see whoever that comes and work extra hours. And these are the people that he promote. These are the people that he promote because my supervisor said that he was promoted because of that. Because Arno likes him because he's a hard worker. And the other thing is that then Arno gave my supervisor a task that is beyond his work description. See, for those of you, how would you get promoted at work? Okay, if you're only required to do 10 things, if your supervisor tells you that, can you do two more things that's not in your job description, what would you do, Daniel?
Yes, because you would improve your chances of getting promoted.
Hey, good man, okay? You know what other people say? Well, I work under the union, right? I'm only required to do 10 things, and whatever you tell me is beyond these 10 things. Don't you ever give me pressure. Otherwise, I will report you to the union steward head, okay, for intimidation and harassment. Will these people get promoted?
No.
Well, they still get the jobs, okay, but will they get promoted? No. See, in the world, whoever that wants to do the extra task is the one that would eventually be promoted.
And the Bible says in Proverbs 5:33,
read this.
The fear of the Lord is the commandment of and humility comes before honor.
Ah, just read what it is. Humility comes before honor. Good point, okay? Smart man. Okay, so Mary Magdalene, when she went back there twice, she gets the big reward. She's the first person ever to see the resurrected Jesus. Let's just continue. John chapter 20, verse 11. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and went to look in the tomb. And then she saw the two angels in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and then one at the foot. Okay? How many angels were there? See, here's really what it is. Did Peter and John see the two angels? Were they there? Maybe they were not there at that time, okay? because otherwise they would have seen it, right? But now, when she came back, what does the Bible say? She saw the two angels, okay? And then they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. Now, what does it say about Mary? Does she believe in the resurrection? No. No. She just said that someone has took his body away, period, okay? Now, but what about the other women? Let's just read the resurrection story by Luke. Let's just refer to Luke chapter 24. There's something I have to say about the angels. Okay? Luke chapter 24, verse 2. "The woman they found that stone rolled away, they saw not the body of Jesus, but while they were wondering, suddenly two men in clothes gleamed like lightning stand beside them." Okay, now. These bunch of women, when they went to the grave, trying to re-anoint the Lord Jesus, and found the tomb was empty, the stone rolled away, where were the two angels?
Right beside them.
Yes. Are they inside the tomb? No, they're outside, okay? They're outside the tomb. Right? In the fright, the women bowed down, and then these angels said, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead," right? Now, what happened to these angels now? These angels do move around, okay? There's no contradiction in the Bible. Now, apparently, these two angels, they have, you know, at one time they were standing outside the grave, and now they went inside the grave, okay? And when Mary took a look, she saw these two angels there, okay? Now, angels do move around, okay? There's nothing that contradicts the Bible.
They're not robots.
Yes, they're not robots, okay? And they're not statues, okay? They do walk around, okay? And they say, "Well, I don't know where the Lord is." At this time, she turned around and saw the Lord Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize it was Jesus. Now, let's just go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? What is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was just only a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you put him and I will get him." Now, what does it tell you about Mary Magdalene, about her physical abilities? Rosanna? Rosanna? What does it tell you about the physical abilities of Mary Magdalene? Is she a weak woman?
No, she can run very fast.
She can run very fast, okay? And not only that, think about that. Now, just barely catching her breath, okay, after going back and forth, she said that she can carry the body of a man all by herself.
So she's really strong?
Yes, I mean, you know, she's not someone you can beat or harass or whatever, okay? Okay? You know, she's a strong woman, okay? She's not a weak woman, okay? So don't mess around with her, okay? She can outrun you in a marathon, okay? And then after that, just scarcely catching her breath, she's got enough power to carry the body of a dead man all by herself. And she means that, okay? Now, you know how heavy a person's body is if a person is unconscious? Many years ago, I was buying something from 7-Eleven. It was at night, and there's a tiny little white girl that was the cashier, and she was just giving me change. She fainted. I don't know how, okay? And then I saw that, I tried to grab her, but just, you know, I think she's just about this tall, like very thin. I tried to grab hold of her, and I could not. Like, you know, her body seems to weigh a ton. Fortunately, there's another customer that was there helping me. And, you know, and her head banged against the cashier slightly. But, you know, but not to the extent that she was injured. Okay? I tried to grab her. But, you know, a body that's unconscious is very heavy. Very heavy. We don't know. Because, you know, see, if you're limping, okay, you know, and you need me to carry you, okay, like, there's some power still within you, okay, to help along the way, okay, but if you have completely fainted out, okay, and I've got to carry you, okay, you become maybe 3 times more heavier than I would imagine, okay? So Jesus would be about, I don't know, 150 pounds, 160 pounds or whatever, and when he is just, in the body form, it will be like weighing something like 300 pounds or something like that, okay, completely limp. It's very hard to carry. So Mary Magdalene is a strong woman. But you see, Jesus said to her, Mary. Now, here's the difference, okay? When Jesus started to talk to her, she said, woman. Jesus is addressing woman, Mary, as her God, okay? Just write down on verse 15. Woman means as her God, okay? And then when Jesus said to her in verse 16, Mary, write down on your margin, as her Redeemer, Savior. And she turned around towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means that teacher. Now, what does it mean? The original Greek is that turning around to him is put in a bracket there, the word repentance. Repentance is the same word about turning around. You see, Mary has to repent because she would be just like any of the apostles, hearing what Jesus said but never understanding, seeing the facts in front of her but never perceiving. And then later on, when Jesus appeared to her like that, Jesus said, Mary, I'm your Redeemer. She has to turn her face towards her. This is the original Greek. Now, the writer of the Gospel of John would use the same word as the word repentance in the original Greek. It's the same word, okay? Turning your head to the Lord Jesus is the same word as the word of repentance. But of course, it's not translated like that. It's not translated that Mary was repenting. It's just that Mary was turning her head to the Lord Jesus. So now, when we sing the hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, what does it mean? Yes, repent. Repentingly turn your eyes upon Jesus. Okay, now. And then she tried to hold. Now, Rabboni means that my teacher. Jesus said, well, do not hold on to me, for I have not returned to the Father. Go instead to the brothers and tell them that I am returning to my Father, and your Father to my God and your God. Now, what's the difference of that? How come Jesus tell Mary not to hold her, not to grab hold of him? Well, Jesus knew Mary Magdalene, because if Mary Magdalene would grab hold of him, she would not let go, okay? Okay? She just would not let go. But Jesus has got many other things to do, okay, on that day. Jesus would be a very busy person, okay? Jesus is very busy. So Jesus would not just, you know, he's got lots of work to do, okay? So Jesus would say that, hey, look, Mary, I've got work to do. And the other thing is that I have to go to my Father. Okay, now, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, what's the difference? Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses would try to tell you that Jesus has to say that, that a father is his God and therefore he is just a created being. Is that true?
No.
Because if Jesus is a created creature, just like Mary, okay, what would Jesus say? I am returning to our God, right? But did he say our God? No. He said my God and your God, okay? The Father is the God of the Lord Jesus by his grace, okay? The Father is our God because he created us. That is the difference, okay? So, now what's the difference between my Father and your Father? Anyone? Write down on your margin. I'm returning to my Father, write down on your margin. My Father means by by nature. Okay? By his nature, Jesus is the Son of the Father. Just by nature. Okay? But how come God is our Father? Write down on your margin, by the grace of the Lord Jesus. Okay? The Father is the Father of Jesus by nature. The Father is our Father because of grace of the Lord Jesus. You see the difference? And the Father is the God of the Lord Jesus by His grace. And the Father is our God by nature. Do you see the difference? Okay? The Father is the God of the Lord Jesus by His grace, but is our God by nature. See the difference? See, Jehovah's Witnesses would always try to fool you. You know what they would say? They would say that, hey, if Jesus had to call the Father, does your Father come before you? Katie, who comes before? The Father or you? Your daddy, right? Your daddy always comes before you, right? And they say that, well, since your daddy gave birth to you, then would it not be logical that Christ is created by the Father? That the Father comes first, okay? Katie, you have to know that. First is your Father, then it comes you, right? You don't exist together with your Father at the same time, do you? Nobody do, right? Has to be always your Father first, and then comes us, right? So you don't come together at the same time, right? You don't, right? Unless your Father has a twin, okay, then your Father and your twin it still cannot be at the same time, right? Because one twin would be maybe a couple of minutes earlier than the other twin, right?
Or seconds.
Right? Yes. But they would not be at the same time, right? Never be at the same time, right? So the Jehovah's Witnesses were just trying to play with our logic, saying that, well, then in this case, the Father has come before the Son, so the Son has to be created by the Father. Is that the case? No. That's not what the Bible means, okay? Another meaning of this is that the Son carries the DNA of the Father. Does that make sense?
Yeah, half the DNA of the Father, half the mother.
Yes, okay, now. Daniel, do you and I share the same DNA?
No.
We cannot, right? We cannot, right? Who would share your DNA?
My mom and dad.
Absolutely, right? And Katie, who would share your DNA? Your mom and?
Dad.
Your dad, right? Would Jonathan and you share the same DNA?
How about sister?
Yes, your sister, yes. Okay. Jonathan and you would not share the same DNA, otherwise there'd be a scandal, right? No, it'd be inconceivable, right? How can it be, right? What happened, right? You cannot have the same DNA, right? So, what does that mean? When the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of the Father, the Bible does not say that Christ came after the Father, that Christ is having the same DNA or the same nature as the Father. That's what the Bible says. Does that make sense now? Does an angel have the same DNA as the Father?
No.
See, the Jehovah's Witnesses were saying that Jesus is only Michael the Archangel. Jesus is only an angel. But would an angel carry the same DNA as God?
No.
No, right?
An angel would carry a DNA of an angel.
Absolutely, right? Do you and I have the same DNA as the Lord?
No.
No, right? Because we are created, right? Who would have the same DNA as the Father? The Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Think about that. Now, here's another point I'd like to ask you about it. When Christ referred to the Father and God together, how many